You know any of them? You don't know. Krishna. They're actually directly Krishna. There's different forms of the Shalagram Shilas. Some of them are Nrsingha Shilas, some of them are Kurma Shilas. You've heard about that before? Some of them are Matsya Shilas, some of them are Gopal Shilas, some of them are Balaram Shilas, according to the shape of the Shilas. Anyway, so he was sitting down there, and he did his morning ablutions. You know what ablution means? What does it mean?
The daily thing that he did.
Yeah, but ablution actually means bath. In other words, you take your bath, and then you do each and every brahmana. Of course, he was not born in a Brahmin family. Who was his father? Huh? No. Who was the father of Maharaj Bhart? Rishabdev. And Maharaj Bhart left his kingdom when he was a young man because he was so detached, as just described in the Bhagavatam. He left his kingdom just like one leaves the bathroom after doing your service. It's not that you stay around the bathroom and chant your rounds and you know, read books in the bathroom. So one leaves. Of course, in the material world, the non-devotees, they actually stay in the bathroom a long time. If you go into a non-devotee's bathroom, you see there's stacks of magazines. See, they, it's like the non-devotees like to stay in the material world and read. But the devotees like to get out. Anyway, so Bharat Maharaj, he came, he gave everything up, and he began chanting his Gayatri Mantra. So while he was chanting his Gayatri Mantra, we're going to hear the story, it's very interesting. Tatra tada, this is text 2. Tatra tada rajanadani vipayasasi jalashya vyasham ekaivo pajagama. O king, when Bharat Maharaj was sitting on the bank of that river, a doe, being very thirsty, came there to drink. What's a doe?
It's a female deer.
It's a male deer?
Female
deer, that's right. Or text 3. While the doe was drinking with great satisfaction, a lion, which was very close, roared very loudly. This was frightful to every living entity, and it was heard by the deer. So text 4. Tam upashrutya samrigavaduhu prakriti viklava chakita nirikshana sutaram api hare boya binivesha vyagravdiya pari plava dristir agata trisha bayat zahasaivo chakrama. By nature, the doe was always afraid of being killed by others. And it was always looking about suspiciously. When it heard the lion's tumultuous roar, it became very agitated, looking here and there with disturbed eyes. The doe, although it had not fully satisfied itself by drinking water, suddenly leaped across the river. And text 5. Tasya utpatanja. Antarvatnya uru bayava galito yonim nirgato garva shodasi nipatpata. The doe was pregnant, and when it jumped out of fear, the baby deer fell from its womb into the flowing waters of the river. And Prabhupada comments, there's every chance of a woman's having a miscarriage if she experiences some ecstatic emotion or is frightened. Pregnant women should therefore be spared from all these external influences. I'm not going to comment on that. Text 6. Tat prasad vot sarpana vaya kedatura swaganena vihujamana kasyan chidaryam krishna sarasati nipapatata chamamara. Being separated from its flock and distressed by its miscarriage, the black doe, having crossed the river, was very much distressed. Indeed, it fell down in a cave and died immediately. So text 7. Tam tvena kunakam Kripanam Shotasanu Hayamanam Avivikshya Pavidam Vandurivanu Kampaya Rajashir Bharata Advayamrita Mataram Ityashrama Padam Anayat. The great King Bharata, while sitting on the bank of the river, saw the small deer, bereft of its mother, floating down the river. Seeing this, he felt great compassion. Like a sincere friend, he lifted the infant deer from the waves and, knowing it to be motherless, brought it to his ashram. So, now the story begins. So, purport by His Divine Grace of the Prabhupada, the laws of nature work in subtle ways unknown to us. Maharaj Bharata was a great king, very advanced in devotional service. He had almost reached the point of loving service to the Supreme Lord, but even from that platform, he could fall down onto the material platform. In Bhagavad Gita, we are therefore warned. Yami navya tayan jete purusham purushar shabha samaduka sukham diram somrita vaya kalpate. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Spiritual salvation and liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution. Otherwise, a little discrepancy, what's a discrepancy, do you know?
Mistake.
Will cause one to fall down again into the material existence. By studying the activities of Maharaj Bharata, we can learn the art of becoming completely free from all material attachment. As it will be revealed in later verses, Bharata Maharaj had to accept the body of a deer due to being overly compassionate for this infant deer. We should be compassionate by raising one from the material platform to the spiritual platform. Otherwise, at any moment, our spiritual advancement may be spoiled, and we may fall down onto the material platform. Maharaj Bharata's compassion for the deer was the beginning of his fall down into the material world. So Om Gana Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Meditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurudev Maha. So as Prabhupada comments, Maharaj Bharata was on a very exalted platform of devotional service, and that platform was called Bhava. There's different platforms of devotional service. In the beginning, Ado Shraddha Tata Saru Sangota. In the beginning, we have a little bit of faith, interest, actually preliminary faith. Faith means to trust something. So we trust, the Vedic literatures, they sound good, let me study them. So, and then when we have faith, we begin to associate with who? Who are they? The devotees. We don't associate with the football players or the rakshasas or the politicians. We associate with the devotees. Sadhu sangota. And what happens when you associate with the devotees? You begin to do what the devotees do. What do the devotees do when they read? They chant Hare Krishna, and they read the Bhagavad Gita. Okay? So, you associate with the devotees, it's called Bhajana Kriya. And then when you're doing the activities of Bhajana Kriya, which is what we're doing right now, Bhagavatam class, Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, worshipping the deities, chanting the holy name, and then after that taking prasadam, then you get to the stage of what's called Anartha Nivritti. Anartha means what you don't want. Right? What don't you want?
Sins.
Not just the sins, but there's other things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. Wow. Kama, Krodha, Mada, Matsarya, Varibhaya. That's a Sanskrit. Lust, anger, greed. And in the material world, people want to increase those things, right? To increase their lust, they have lust pills they take. Did you know that? That's the most popular medicine you can buy, is the lust pills. Wow. And sometimes to increase their lust, they take the glands of the monkeys and they put them in their own body. When Prabhupada was on the planet, he talked about how they would go to the Vrindavan monkeys and take them and cut out their glands and put them in human beings. And Prabhupada said that they're taking glands out of one monkey and put it into another monkey. So that's lust. And then anger. What do people do to increase their anger now in modern society?
Watch TV.
Watch TV? Play video games? Video games are a real big thing with anger. Sport, like some of the sporting games. You know, you ever see someone watching a football game? Sometimes I'm walking through the airport and there's a sports bar at the airport. And you see people watching and they're going, get him. Like Rakshasas. They actually look like Rakshasas. They're sitting there drunk. And they look like Rakshasas. You're just watching. They're not even playing the game, but they're experiencing the same emotions as the players who are playing the game. So you got sports, kama, krodha, mada, and illusion. What do people do to stay in illusion? They drink, they smoke. In some places in the United States, it's legal to smoke marijuana. California, yeah. Medicinal marijuana. In the state, well, I was just in Washington, it's legal. They have stores everywhere. Everyone wants to take, and they're drinking. And even in India today, you see so many liquor stores wherever you go. And sometimes they're making their own liquor at home. And it's poisonous and they die. Hundreds of people die sometimes. It's true. Because they make the wrong type of alcohol. There's ethyl alcohol, methyl alcohol, they make the wrong type of alcohol and they all die. So in the United States many years ago, they had this thing called prohibition, where they made it illegal to have alcohol. Guess what people did? They started making alcohol in their own homes. They called bathtub gin. Because they use their bathtub as a still to make the alcohol. So, kama, krodha, mada, matsarya, envy. How do people get envious? Because you see something that someone else has. Like people have the latest iPhone or something like that. Did you ever see that on your list? Someone has a gadget and you want it? Did you ever ask your father for anything? No, you never asked your father for anything. He said, give me this. You ever say to your father, give me this, please, get me this. I'm sure you do. Every child does that. So that's envy, because you want something that you don't have. Anyway, so these are all called anarthas. So when you chant Hare Krishna and engage in sadhana bhakti, then you're getting rid of the anarthas. It's called anartha nivritti, to get rid of the anarthas. And then when you get rid of the anarthas, you don't get rid of them completely at that stage, but they're more or less gone. And then you come to the next stage, which is nishta. You become stable. When you don't have any anarthas, then you're a stable person. And when you have anarthas, then you're unstable. You can't tell, as they say, what side of the bed you're going to wake up in the morning. You ever hear that expression before? That night. Did you ever run into someone, oh, he's in a bad mood today? You ever see that? Or he's in a good mood today. That's caused by the modes. Moods, same thing. So, anartha nivritti. So the idea is to get rid of the anarthas, then you become steady, and then you get ruchi, you get a taste in devotional service. And the taste is so great that you like to hear about Krishna 24 hours a day. You don't want to hear about anything else. If someone starts telling you the news, like about the stock market or the politics, you go, Hare Krishna, 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 like that. And then, so that's called ruchi, and then after ruchi, ashakti, you're completely attached to Krishna, and then after that, you get bhava. Bhava means that whenever you hear about Krishna, what happens? Does anyone know? Mahaprabho kirtana richagita varitra madhyan manaso rasena. You start dancing. The hairs of your body stand on end. Even your sika comes up like that. That's called bhava. And actually there's 33 what are called vyabhachari bhavas that happen accidentally without you wanting them. There's the ashtik sattvaka bhava, the eightfold bhavas. Anyway, there's different bhavas. There's vibhavas, the things that remind you of Krishna. Just like if you see a harmonium that reminds you of Krishna, you start shaking just seeing a harmonium. Because it's connected with Krishna. Or you see Krishna, you see the deities, like that. And that's the stage that Bhart Maharaj was on. he was on that stage, it's described previously, that every time he heard about Krishna, he would just go into ecstasy. So why did he fall down? And he had no anarthas. So how can you fall down without anarthas when you're experiencing ecstasy? Because there's always the tendency. Before the stage of prema, there's always the danger. When you're in Krishna prema, it doesn't matter. You can go anywhere, see anything. It doesn't matter. But when you're just in bhava, you still have to be careful. Like Prabhupada said, and he's referring to the purport, Prabhupada said one has to be very, very careful. He says, otherwise, at any moment, our spiritual advancement may be spoiled and we may fall down to the material platform. So before we were actually absorbed in Krishna prema, and how do you know you're absorbed in Krishna prema? You see Krishna directly. I mean, just like I'm looking at you, Aniruddha. And I look at you, and you're wearing a flute, and playing your flute, wearing a peacock feather. Wow, that's what it means. That's how you know you're in Krishna prema. But before that, there's always the danger. So Prabhupada said devotional service is like a razor's edge. And nowadays you don't know what a razor is anymore. In the old days we had these straight razors. In India sometimes too, they still have them. A straight razor is like a razor about this big, and it's all sharp. And sometimes the barbers use them. And guess what happens if they slip while they're cutting your hair here? What falls off?
Yeah.
Your ear. If they're not careful, let's say with one of these razors, because they're so sharp, it's super sharp. It goes, bloop, and your ear falls off. You know, with the razors that we use now, it's not a problem because they're called safety razors. It is a little blade and a little plastic holder for it. And if you slip, you get cut, you know, it's not a big deal. But with these straight razors, whew, you can cut your nose off. You can be like that Serpanaka. Who had her nose cut off, her ears cut off by Lakshman. You know that story? So that's devotional service. And one has to be very attentive. Like Prabhupada said, you young boys and girls are not enough afraid of Maya. Like we were talking about that last night. Like actually, Prabhupada was asked one time, you know, what do you pray to Krishna for? And Prabhupada said, being humble, he said, I pray to Krishna to keep me out of illusion. Because Prabhupada never was an illusion. Obviously, he's a pure devotee, he comes from the spiritual world. However, Prabhupada is setting an example for us that we have to be extremely careful what we do. That means what we eat, what we see, what we sing. Just like if you sing some Bollywood songs, you may think it's beautiful, you know, probably. Love songs. He doesn't, that's good. Some of you may. So if you watch these Bollywood movies, just like one temple, for a festival, they actually had a Bollywood movies, and actually they had singers, you know, what do you call it, guzzles, you know, and they were singing these Bollywood songs, and even in Fiji they do, devotees do that a lot, isn't it? They like these Bollywood songs like that. And so what happens when you associate with Bollywood songs? They have the modes of nature. And what modes of nature? Passion and ignorance. We were talking about this last night. Karanam gunasangasya sadasab janma jonisham. By associating with the modes, it rubs off. I was saying last night that everything in this world is covered by the modes of nature. It's like wet paint on everything. If this harmonium was just painted and I touched it, what would happen? Not only would I stick with it, but the paint color would come off of my hands, right? Or if this was paint, red paint. So everything in this world has the modes of nature attached to it. So whatever you come in contact with, if you eat food in the mode of ignorance, which is old, stale, tasteless, putrid, yeah, like meat, or even they have some types of cheese that smell really bad, then you get in the mode of ignorance, just by eating food in the mode of ignorance. Or if you eat food in the mode of passion, what's food in the mode of passion? I don't even know. Nobody knows. Like too many chilies. You can have one little chili. Chili is fine. They call chilies sharks sometimes. You ever call that?
Should we offer chili to Krishna Maharaj?
Yeah. Krishna likes little chili. Although, when Krishna was present, there were no chilies in India. Chilies came from South America. Potatoes came from South America. Tomatoes came from South America. So Krishna didn't eat chili. But it's all right to offer. But if too much, too hot, too spicy, or too much salt, just like it's nice in Fiji, they put so much salt into the sabji that it's actually a salt sabji. You understand? It's just all salt. I said, where's the vegetable? It was one little vegetable and a mountain of salt. It's so salty that sometimes I was tasting the Mahaprasadam and just had to run to the shower to drink water. It was so salty. So that's in the passion. And it also causes disease. Because when you eat things that are too salty, too spicy, it causes disease like high blood pressure and other things. And then in the mode of goodness, food is healthy, it creates, you know, nice muscles in the body and different flesh. So food in the mode of goodness, it's like fruit and, you know, rice and different things like that, different grains if they're prepared properly, and vegetables, certain vegetables. So certain vegetables are in the mode of ignorance. What vegetables are in the mode of ignorance?
Mushrooms?
No.
Onions
and garlic. Onions and garlic. And certain foods are not nice by themselves, but when you combine them with others, they're in goodness, like corn. Not the corn in Fiji. The corn in Fiji is so hard, you use it as a hammer to hammer nails with. Prabhupada said it's for the animals. But there's sometimes sweet corn you get in America, which is nicer. So all the vegetables, all the food has different modes of nature. People are in different modes. Places are in different modes. Like if you go into a liquor store, that's in the mode of ignorance. Or if you go into the supermarket, the meat section of the supermarket, that's in ignorance. So you got to be careful what music you listen to, who you, what you watch on the internet, and it affects you. It causes you, even if you're a good devotee, your consciousness can be affected. So look what happened to Bharat Maharaj. You know, this is an interesting story. He didn't go to the movies. He didn't listen to Bollywood songs or anything like that. But he just got into material affection for this baby deer. And he got about his spiritual life. It was all right for him to save the deer. There's no problem with that. It's not that he should have just said, okay, deer, die. That's not the right thing. He should have taken the deer out and chanted Hare Krishna to the deer. But he devoted his whole life to the deer. He forgot about, he neglected his sadhana bhakti. That's the point. He neglected it. Because when he was chanting, he was thinking of the deer. Can you imagine chanting Hare Krishna, deer, deer, deer. My dear, dear, dear. And when he was doing his Gayatri, the same thing was happening. And eventually, he fell down from devotion. So just a little deer can cause you to fall down. And then he became a deer. So that's the story of Bharat Maharaj. So we'll keep it short. So any questions or comments about any of these points? Gwenjani, any questions? No? Hare Krishna.
Any questions? I have two questions, if you don't mind. First question, you talked about the Bollywood aspect. I brought that question I had in mind for a while, which is there's a tendency that, you know, the time, place, and circumstances.
Yeah.
Example, people try to use it. I've heard people saying that, you know, just for the moment to attract people, we have to do something different. And that is not only in Bollywood, but in that example, maybe it's the extent could be any far, but How far you can go? Sometimes it's quite uncertain, because we were there once at the Color Festival and people are dancing for Bollywood songs. So I couldn't really understand. The music was Western, but it was Hare Krishna.
Oh, it's Hare Krishna, sorry.
So how far you can take that principle, like to attract people, how far you can go? I mean, that is a very difficult thing to understand.
That's an interesting question. It takes a lot of discrimination. I mean, sometimes we have to do things to attract people. But we don't want to do things that will affect our consciousness adversely. I mean, Prabhupada said you can use any melody to chant Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya says, Niyamena Tishtan, that there's no hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna. So as long as you're using the music and you're chanting Hare Krishna, I mean, I don't see any problem with that. I mean, obviously, at the holy festival, which attracts people, you can use Western music with chanting Hare Krishna. But if you use Western music and chant Western songs, it's a different thing. Okay. Then it's just mundane, and it just will cause everybody to have mundane or material consciousness and deviate from Krishna consciousness. So it requires some intelligence. I mean, just like with children, sometimes you want to give them some sporting games. You can't tell the children just sit down all the time and chant Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. So you got to arrange some sports. Or even with older devotees, like when we were opening the temple in Suva, every day we would have a volleyball game with all the devotees, even myself, when I was young. And, of course, until I threw my arm out. So we have a volleyball. So it was a team-building thing. There is a purpose to it. But it's not that we sat and watched mundane games. And then another time in Suva, it's an interesting story. Some of you may have heard the story. I was sleeping. It was the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I heard, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And I said, the next morning I asked the devotees, you know, why were you chanting? You're in such ecstasy all night. And they said, no, it was the some sort of Fiji Sevens or something like that. They were playing in the UK. In the UK, of course, it's the exact opposite time as it is in Fiji. And so all the devotees were watching TV to watch rugby. Rugby. Yeah, it was rugby. And the Fiji team was making its goals or something like that. And they go, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And all the devotees were up in the middle of the night chanting in the ashram. This is in the temple ashram. Chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And then I asked some of the ladies, I said, oh, I said, these men are in such maya, you ladies would never watch. And they said, no, we were up to watching. And I said, you're all in maya. So that doesn't help Krishna consciousness at all. I mean, sometimes we have to do things, little sporting games. Sometimes I took the devotees white water rafting, you know, and we all chanted Hare Krishna. This is an interesting story. You know what white water rafting is? Where you go down a river, and the river has rapids, you know, really swift river, and you go over stones and everything like that. So we had like 10 devotees in each boat. And we were all rowing. And I told the captain of the boat, because you have to use a professional captain when you go down these dangerous rivers. I told them, when you want the devotees to row on the right side, you say Nitai. When you want them to row on the left side, you say Goranga. So the whole trip, for 4 hours, this non-devotee captain was saying, Nitai, Goranga, Nitai, 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 Goranga, Goranga. And when he finished, he became a devotee. That's nice, isn't it? So that's the point. So you can do certain things like that, but you have to have some discrimination. You definitely do not want to do things that will drag the devotee's consciousness down. It's not that, oh, we're all going to go to McDonald's today, and we're going to order a salad at McDonald's. That would be very bad. Sometimes devotees, you have to be especially careful what you eat. Because we gave the example last night, privately we were talking to some devotees, that Grandfather Bhishma, Dronacharya, and Kripacharya acted like demons by eating food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen. They allowed Draupadi to be disrobed. Can you imagine? That's demons' consciousness. If someone, lady is being attacked and you just sit there, I can't do anything about it. Then it's like a demoniac consciousness, because if you see something bad and you don't act, you're responsible. You're actually responsive. You can correct the situation. It's not too cold. I just, when I'm a little tired, then I start to have a little mucus in the throat. So if you can correct the situation and you can't, and you don't do anything, you're responsible for that situation. So they acted like demons by not doing anything. And so Prabhupada said that's because they ate food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen. And they were, and Grandfather Bhishma is a Mahajan. He's one of the great Dwadasha Mahajan, you know, the 12 great personalities. And still, he acted terribly. Isn't it? Horrible, isn't it? Yeah. And he allowed so many things to go on. So, we have to be careful what we eat. Where we eat, what we eat, who cooks. Because when you eat food, the person who has a certain consciousness is cooking, you get their consciousness. It's like getting a transfusion. You know what transfusion is? Anyone? Transfusion is, let's say, I go to the hospital and I have some operation and I need blood. And so then they go to Aniruddha and say, can you give some blood for Vibhishan Maharaj? And then they give you your blood. And all of a sudden I start to think like you. I start to speak. I said, what happened to my consciousness? Oh, I got Aniruddha's blood. Oh my God. So take out the blood. So when you eat, according to the Ayurveda, the food becomes transformed to blood eventually through several stages. And that affects the consciousness. You know, what you eat affects how you think. Very important. So, any other questions?
How was Bharat Varaj near Gandaki River? Was that his kingdom or what?
Well, at that time, the kingdom, Rishabhadev's kingdom was everywhere. Nepal used to be part of India. You know, Nepal, I mean, it's obvious. Nepal used to be a Hindu kingdom, and now it's a lot of Buddhists there. I mean, anybody here been to Nepal? I have. Nobody here has been to Nepal. So I've been to Nepal, I think twice I've been to Nepal. I had all these Buddhist temples are there all over the place. But there's a lot of devotees, too. For example, there's one place called Budhinilakanta in Nepal, which has a deity of Lord Vishnu. It's interesting. They were excavating the mountain and cutting out stone from the mountain. All of a sudden, this deity appeared from the mountain. Wow. And it's Lord Vishnu. He's about from here to that tape, no, further, from here to the wall, lying down. He was just in the mountain where they cut open the mountain. And they very carefully cut around and then everything like that deity. And you can worship and you can go there and see that deity today.
In the capital city?
That's in the capital city. That's what's on the side of Kathmandu. It's in a place called Budhinilakanta. And our temple, our ISKCON temple is right there too. Recently they had an earthquake there. But the deities are all right. So originally they were very Krishna conscious, and still they're Krishna conscious. And now, of course, they've had trouble with revolutions, with communists and everything like that recently. But India was far greater than it is today. I mean, for example, where did Gandhari come from? Does anyone know?
Afghanistan.
Kandahar. Gandhari, Kandahar. She came from Afghanistan. She was an Afghani girl. Where did Curtis come from? Curtis. Afghanistan. They're actually not from India originally. They're from Afghanistan. They're not. The Goswamis didn't wear Curtis. They would just have a cape on the top. So, anyway, India was encompassed Afghanistan. It was the whole world, basically, at one point. Bharatvarsha is the whole world. I mean, like if you go to Indonesia, what is the name of their airline? What is the name of the Indonesian airline? Garuda. Garuda Airlines. Did you know that? That's the name of the Indonesian airlines. If you go to Thailand, practically every street is called Rama 1, Rama 2. Anyone here been to Thailand? No. Rama 1, Rama 2, the king is called Rama. And practically every street, they have deities of Lord Brahma there too, which is very interesting, four-headed Lord Brahma. Of course, Thailand also has a lot of Buddhists too, primarily Buddhists. So you'll see that Indian culture was spread all over the world. And you see many words in English and other languages are very similar to Sanskrit. Very, very similar, almost the same word, like vritti. Like we have the word vritti, which means to turn over in Sanskrit. And in English we have invert, subvert, pervert, revert. So it's a similar word. So you'll find a lot of words in English. So in other words, Vedic culture was spread throughout the world to a certain extent. So Nepal, obviously that's where the Gandaki River is, and that's where Bharat Maharaj was, and that was part of Vrishabhadeva's Bharat Maharaj's kingdom.
Yeah,
devotees go there.
They say you can't pick up them. You can't get them.
Yeah, you can get them.
You just pick them up?
Well, you should get permission from the guru, you should get permission from Krishna. You should be humble about it. Some devotees get the Shalagram Shilas without being qualified. You have to be very qualified, very brahminical. It requires worship every day. And if you commit offenses, you suffer. So, just like there was one devotee, his name was Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He went to the Gandaki River and he got 8 Shalagram Shilas. And then he came back to Vrindavan and he thought, I'm not qualified, even though he was extremely qualified, but he's humble. Not like us. He was very humble. So he went back to the Gandaki River and put the Shilas back in the river. And guess what happened? Does anyone know the story? He knows the story. Wow. The Shilas jumped back in his hand. He put it back in the river. They jumped back in his hand several times. So he understood, I'm supposed to worship the Shilas. Then later on, he went to Vrindavan, is worshiping his Shalaram Shilas, and he was thinking, I'd like to have deities too, because someone gave him clothes for deities, and he didn't have any deities. You don't dress the Shalagram Shila with clothes. And so he was thinking, you know, I want to have deities. So that night, he went to sleep or took rest, and one of his Shilas magically appeared as a deity. That was the Damodar Shila. And that deity is known as what? Does anyone know the name of that deity? Radharaman. Wow, he's amazing. How'd you learn all these things?
There's a book, so, and it has the Vaishnava, the scenes, so it tells about them.
So you like reading about Krishna, right? But he does, and he doesn't like material education. He can be an avaduta or something. So that's the story of Radharaman, and that occurred, of course, that story at the Gandaki River. But Nepal was part of India previously. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, Nepali is also the Nepali script is actually a derivative of Devanagari. So, any other questions?
I have a question regarding the Yuga Upanishad that verse, the explanation below, this is the second sentence. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota.
Yeah.
And should not accept it.
That's very nice.
And I was wondering, how do we know what is our quota and how we're entitled to like this material things, you know, like how much we should
Well, there's several ways to figure that out. One way is referring to the Upadeshamrita about the causes that cause our fall down from devotional service, such as Hara Prayasa Shabajalpini Magra. So Prayasa means over endeavor. So if you find yourself to acquire something working 3 jobs, then that's a little over endeavor. But if you're working, you know, 1 job and you have time for your bhakti, in other words, if you have time for your bhakti, you're able to contribute to the Krishna consciousness movement, you know, using the fruits of your work, your job, your money or whatever, and you're entertaining people at home, having programs. That's not over-endeavor. But if you find yourself so much immersed in your work that you forget about Krishna, your bhakti becomes hindered, that's not good. That's over-endeavor.
You can do
So you have to see. I mean, if Krishna says something easy, like if you're just sitting there and Krishna just sends you, you know, $10 million, that's not over-endeavor. Then you use it in a service. But if you're thinking, I have to get $10 million, and you start working day and night, you're just chanting money, 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 instead of Hare Krishna, that's over-endeavor. So what comes without too much endeavor? That's really the point. And also, even what comes, don't eat too much, you know. Achahara. You know, don't eat too much. Don't, you know, if you can be happy driving a Prius, you know what a Prius is? Don't need a Mercedes. Although if you have a Mercedes, nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can use it in Krishna's service. But don't go into debt to get all these things. I mean, people go into so much debt sometimes. I have one of my disciples is he works for a big bank, and he works in the car financing department. And he sees people buy cars that are worth like $80,000, $90,000, and their salary is only $40,000 for a year, or $50,000 or something like that. And people are paying off a car, you know, for 8 years and 9 years, just so you can go around and show people, you know, whatever reason it is. That's over-endeavor. Or eating too much. You know how much you can eat without getting sick. Everyone knows that. Or eating too opulently. Like that. You know, just eat for health. You know what they say, eat to live, don't live to eat. But some people live to eat. So, just have to see what comes. I mean, just like I have things, like I have this, you know, iPad, I, me, and mine. Anyway, there's an interesting story about iPads. There's a picture of the whole family, and the little boy has an iPad, the wife has an iPhone, and the daughter, she has, you know, iMac. And each one is saying, I have an iPad, I have an iMac, I have an iPhone. And the father is saying, and I paid. You understand? iPhone, iPad, iMac, I paid. Do you understand that joke? Yeah. And the poor father had to pay for everything. So, you know, just like I have this, but, you know, it's not that I had to go to get a job or something like that. You know, just Krishna provided it. So if Krishna provides something without much endeavor, then... Otherwise, even building temples, if someone goes crazy and thinks they're going to build a big temple and then just goes in debt and just goes, you know, the whole day long they're just thinking of money, that's also over-endeavor. That's also collecting too much. So one shouldn't be too enthusiastic to build big temples. I mean, you should have it. You can have something that's practical. So, anyway, so that's the point about one's quota. It's pretty easy to see what your quota is. It's just like, you know, what Krishna provides. Like, yeah, you have a nice wife now, so that's your quota. Don't think I need another one. You know, because desire is unlimited. You know, it's never satisfied. You know, just like you have one. I mean, just like people nowadays, they have this iPhone and then they want the latest one, and they line up for 2 days outside the Apple store to get another iPhone. You know, the latest.
They start fighting.
I was first in line, like that. You know, whatever your quote is, you know, as long as it works. And sometimes our quota may be not to have good health, and sometimes our quota should be to have good health. It's up to Krishna. It's up to Krishna. I mean, certain people are given certain things. I mean, certain people have certain skills. So someone can be an artist. That's their quota. And certain people can't paint. Certain people can sing. Certain people can't. Okay. Any other questions or comments? So, time for prasad. They made the offering already, or?
Yeah,
they
made
part of the offering so we can offer them. Okay, offer the rest. All right, that's it. All glories. Here's a vine glory. Shri Prabhupada.